This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
All righty, there he is, the man, the myth, the legend. That is Manny Navarro. And, of course, follow him on Twitter at Manny underscore Navarro and catch his work there at The Athletic. You can catch him twice a week here doing our Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report. How you doing, my friend? You doing all right?
Hanging in there, man. It's been a wild 24 hours here in college football, hasn't it?
Yeah, man. And obviously that's where we're going to start because we could talk about the recruits and all that stuff. And we'll get to that in a minute. Yesterday, obviously, the move, UCLA and USC making the move. They're going to join the Big Ten. And so it's starting to look like, you know, we were talking about a Power Four conference Power Five. Then we were talking about maybe it would be a Super Four conference. Now we're looking at two conferences becoming the super conferences in the Big Ten and the SEC now. Although I got to tell you something, I got to be honest. Who the F is UCLA? Seriously, I mean,
at basketball once.
Yeah, once and football, they've had some moments, you know, 40, 50 years ago or something, but they've been irrelevant forever, my brother. I mean, it's a nice campus. I love that little UCLA downtown that they have and all that. You know, I've been there. I've seen all that stuff, and it's really, really cool. But, you know, they make it sound like they added these two powerhouse programs, which USC has been mediocre for years, and UCLA has been so irrelevant, dude. They're still living off of John Wooden. I mean, that's all they could ever live off of is John Wooden. You know what I mean? So I love how they make it sound bigger than what it is. Now, they are getting the L.A. market. So I get that. I get it. But let's not make it sound like they added these two incredible schools or something like that. I mean, give me a break.
I think it has much more to do with, you know, TV ratings and being able to get rivalries that people will tune in to watch than anything else. And you go back to what happened a year ago, right? Oklahoma and Texas. Texas hasn't been the second best team in the Big 12, but Texas has a huge viewership.
Yep.
And they do have a rivalry with Oklahoma. And so what you're seeing here is basically the two most powerful conferences with the most money and the best TV deals taking the best TV matchups from their brothers, right? The other Power Five conferences. And so now the ACC is next, right? I mean,
That's what I was going to ask you. If you're the University of Miami, aren't you on the phone already with the SEC?
Well, you'd think so, but I think there were a lot of people in college football yesterday caught off guard by the news. And I can tell you, I spoke to a lot of people around the ACC yesterday. Oh, and Grace Rayner and I worked on the sort of ACC perspective with this story. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of people who didn't see this coming. Now, I think some of the smarter people involved in this, knew USC wasn't happy with the contract it had in the Pac-12, especially hiring, Riley from Oklahoma and feeling like, we're sort of on the mend here in terms of a big change with USC football here in the coming years. Right. I don't think anybody saw it quite as far along. Right. As what happened yesterday, where it was already boom, a done deal. They're in the Pac-12, but it was sort of the same way with Oklahoma and Texas last year. So people were caught off guard. But I will tell you, everybody's on alert now. And the reality is, from talking to different administrators and different people, right now the Big Ten and the SEC are going to be at 16. They're not going to jump to 18. It's going to be to 20 at the very least.
Right.
So if you're looking at the future and saying, how does Miami position itself maybe to make the jump to the SEC, which I think is the more natural fit than the Big Ten. You got to be attractive. You've got to be one of those four teams And I think from a television perspective, Miami still brings it. And with Mario Always. Cristobal and the amount of money that Miami you know, is spending right now on football and upgrading things, the coaching staff, et cetera, they're expecting an improvement. So,
and by the way, Miami Fort Lauderdale top 15 market. So you don't have that in every conference that you have the top 15 markets. They're one of the top 15 markets.
You have, right. You have Miami in a very attractive situation. Florida State has been down now for almost a decade. Okay. They've really fallen off. They've had losing seasons. But naturally you say, well, what would be the next one the SEC would want to get as far as a natural matchup? Miami, Florida State makes the most sense. The problem is there's more attractive teams out there. Okay, for instance, Clemson, all right, who's been in the college football playoff quite regularly here, and Dabo Swinney still seems – I know they had an off year yet last year with 10 wins, but they're an attractive team. Notre Dame, obviously, is the most attractive team out there. And the other issue is anybody from the ACC, okay, there's this grant of rights deal, and I don't know how much people get into reading all these articles, but the grant of rights is basically the ACC owns the media rights for every team in the ACC through 2036, okay? Notre Dame's obviously in a different position because they're not part of the conference's football. And Notre Dame has its own TV network. And so shedding itself of the ACC to go to the Big Ten, which most people think is going to happen, probably won't be very difficult for them. But for Miami, Florida State, and Clemson, it's a little tougher. It creates a bigger issue. And the reality is the Pac-12, okay, is much more pluckable right now than anybody else because their TV contract ends in 24. So what I think is going to happen next, people have been asking, man, what happens next? I think you see schools like Oregon and Washington and potentially Stanford and Cal. You know, everybody's like, well, it's going to be so weird. USC and UCLA, they're going to have to travel so much. Well, not if they add six teams from the Pac-12,
right?
And they have sort of a West Coast branch of the Big Ten. So I think that's potentially the next step here. I know that I spoke to some ACC people who think that Cal and Stanford are a better fit for the ACC. They're academic schools. The ACC has all these great academic institutions. They pride themselves on that. But, I mean, who knows what's going to happen here? Oh, I just think Miami's in a situation where if they start winning on the football field and prove themselves to be valuable, I think they'll be fine. But if that doesn't happen for whatever reason, maybe they're one of the teams that's left out of the big money. And in the end, you want to be in the money because if you're not in these super conferences, though, you're kind of screwed. You're kind of screwed at this point. I mean, look at the projections for the money. Yeah. I mean, these schools are going to be making over $100 million a year on TV revenue. Meanwhile, the ACC right now is averaging 30.
Yeah. Yeah. The SEC is what, a $2 or $3 billion contract. And then now the Big Ten is going to get to $1 billion.
Right. I mean, I'm looking at a chart here that was put out last year. And right now, if you go back to last year, Big Ten, $57.2 million payout. This is per school. Okay. SEC, 54. Big 12, 40. Pac-12, 34.4. ACC, 30.9. If you go to 2029, okay, the end of the decade, 7 years from now, the SEC is at 117.8 and 101.1 for the Big Ten. Now the Big Ten just added USC, and you said that's going to go above what the SEC. So the whole point is when you project, right, which is what all these schools do when they make these decisions, it's not about the current situation. And you know, the college football playoff is going to be an entirely different situation, right? But the whole point is to get to the point where you're profiting so much more that, A, you're going to have the best coaches, all the recruits are going to want to come play for you, and it's going to create such a disadvantage for everybody else. And so what happens here the next few years is going to be fascinating. And who becomes those eight teams, right?
A lot of rivalries are dying, bro. A lot of rivalries are dying.
Yeah.
A lot of college football traditions are going to die. Some of them will stay alive because the Big Ten and the SEC will mostly stay together. So some of their own rivalries will stay alive. But Pac 10, 12, 8, whatever it was, ACC, whatever else Big 12, all those, all these conferences are going to get absolutely. You know, I was thinking about this when I was thinking about this segment. You and I were, I almost get the feeling like Miami will end up in the SEC and Florida State will end up in the Big Ten.
You know, I kind of disagree with that only because I think the Big Ten is more of more of a priding itself on the academic side of it. And I don't know that Florida State is.
Yeah, but you just talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what I thought about last night, what you just talked about. Okay. If Miami wins, they'll be fine. I think Miami is going to be winning, and they're going to be fine. I don't think Florida State is going to win and be fine. So I think Norvell and company will not make them as sexy, and so they end up in the Big Ten. I'm just saying it just – I'm thinking of all these rivalries getting destroyed, and I'm thinking of ours getting destroyed between FSU.
I think Miami and Florida State survive on the fact that their rivalry still draws eyeballs on television. Maybe not what they used to, but if Miami is playing at an elite level the next few years,
but not on a not on a national level anymore. It's regional now. It used to be,
but
a national premier national game. Now it's not a premier national game anymore.
Right now it isn't, because both teams are bad. But when Florida State was good and competing for national championships with Jameis Winston, people were still tuning in. I think Miami will get to that point as well. I think Miami will be a playoff contender. Or if it goes to 12, they'll be a playoff team in my mind. But my point is, I think they're a package deal. I think Miami and Florida State are a package deal here. And you have to just sort of look at it that way always. From the super conference standpoint of, these guys need to regionalize things, you know, and do it tactically based on television ratings and what sells on television. And I think Miami and Florida State, okay, it's not what it was, but it still sells. There's still enough people who are going to say, I want to tune in to watch that, versus, what the ACC tried to do this week, which is make Miami and Louisville rivalry when they named them permanent. So, that's what's going to happen here, but it's all fascinating. And as I dive more and more into this, it's just wild. Like you said, to think about the way this is going to change college football, and to think how, you know, we viewed college football for rivalries for years. And now it's all about one thing, man, that college football playoff. It's all about positioning yourself to get the most spots. And that's really what I think the Big Ten and the SEC are doing, right? Because when you go down to, hey, who qualifies for this thing? I mean, what kind of argument, if Miami stays in the ACC, are they going to have to get in versus a team that finishes in fourth place in the 20-team SEC if they're not part of it?
Right.
You know?
I'm with you.
It's the have and the have-nots, bro. You either get in or you don't. And the only other solution here, okay, and this is all – based on television, CBS kind of got screwed right out of the college football. They got the SEC was sort of taken away from them, and they got out of the game. Fox is obviously spearheading the Big 12. ESPN is spearheading, the SEC. Maybe there's a scenario here where CBS gets involved and they form a third super conference, and that's what helps some of these other teams that are left out. Because right now you have 65 Power 5 teams. And it's going to grow here with UCF and Houston and BYU and these other teams.
Well, you better hurry up, because you're losing the sexy names.
But that's what my point is.
There's no way a third power conference steps up if they don't get all the sexy names that are left. And by the way, somebody's asking about Clemson. They'll be in the SEC very soon.
I would say if you ranked the teams right now in sexiness for these conferences, I would put Notre Dame one, obviously, which may be the hardest one to get for anybody. Although Big Ten seems like they have the easiest way in.
They'll go to the Big Ten, I bet.
You got the USC rivalry for them and everything else.
Michigan State. They play a lot of those teams, dude. Yeah, definitely.
Clemson is probably second. I'd say Oregon is probably third, okay, because they've been the best team in the Pac-12, you know, arguably the last 4 or 5 years.
And then
after that you probably have Miami, Florida State. You know, I don't know, it'd be interesting to sit there and do the pecking order of who these conferences would target individually. But then again, it's like I told you, you got to think of it as a package deal. You got to think of it as, how do you regionalize the TV and marketing and its rivalry.
By the way, Utah's got to be considered out of the Pac-12.
You would think so, right?
They're pretty good. And by the way, BYU is super powerful, man.
Well, BYU's headed to the Big 12 now, and you know, but who knows? I mean, again, to me, this is about
That's why I mentioned Utah, because like they took BYU because they understood BYU's power. Hell, BYU, right. Does BYU still they had their own network up until they joined the conference, right?
I think they did.
BYU's a powerhouse, dude, money-wise.
Well, they are in that area. You'd want the BYU-Utah rivalry, but all this stuff is just, again, fascinating to watch, and it's a story that we all have to keep our eyes on. And it almost – I don't want to say it overtakes everything, right? Like, you're still going to have a football season this coming year. But how do you not – I mean, with recruiting, right? And just – these kids now are like, I don't want to get left out of the SEC. I don't want to get left out of the Big Ten. That's going to be where all the games are. So how it shapes everything, the transfer portal, everything moving forward, it really is the big story in college sports.
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. Robert Stafford, talk to me. Cornerback, wide receiver, talk to me. What should Canes fans like about this athlete/corner?
You know, Mario's done a really good job getting guys here who aren't just football players. Like, you look at this commitment class, and he's getting multi-sport athletes, which, by the way, I mean, that is a Jimmy Johnson, Butch Davis thing, right? Like, they like recruiting guys who weren't just football players. Alonzo Highsmith, I've talked to him many times. They don't want guys that are just about football. They want guys that are good enough and competitive enough. And this kid's a basketball player, a kid who's been, he's only 5'11". He plays point guard, but he can dunk. He's been dunking since he was in the ninth grade. So he's got tremendous vertical. His coach, Coach Sands, who I spoke to yesterday, told me he's got really long arms. I think he's got a 6'4 wingspan. For a 5'11 point guard, that's pretty good. You want that as a DB. 4'4", 5'40". Now, not everybody thinks, look, he's only been playing cornerback really full-time for a year. I mean, and playing both ways for his high school team. But as far as being on the field, getting a ton of snaps, he's only done that for a year. So he's going to have to be coached up. But I think, the talent in terms of ability and what he could be once he's molded by this coaching staff is phenomenal. And that's what you want. You want guys that are great athletes, that are hungry, competitive. And this kid, I think, was real fired up to commit to Miami yesterday. He looks like he's very committed. His parents, he's from the Melbourne area. I think this is a good pickup for them. And Miami is still in the mix for some other cornerbacks. I know they want Cormani McClain out of Lakeland. I think Cormani's going to Alabama. There's Damari Brown, the son of Selwyn Brown from Plantation American Heritage. He's another elite kid, a four-star kid. I think they got a better shot at Damari and potentially pairing him up with Robert as their two cornerbacks in this class.
All right. Good stuff, man. It's nice to see that. I mean, listen, no one's going to outwork this coaching staff, and that's the beauty of it. And that's half the battle. And one of the things that I love about Mario that you can tell, he's big into relationships, man. And that is half the battle. And I think that that's what's going to allow him to set that foundation. And the hiring of Mario, the spending of this program now, that this program has opened up its wallets. Little did they know if they were one of the people that were taken by surprise by yesterday's move. It now directly becomes a very important move by them, because if they didn't make this kind of commitment, they would have no shot at joining these power conferences that are developing right now. But as you just said earlier in this interview, if you start taking care of business and winning, then there's no doubt in my mind that you're going to end up, in one of those power conferences, because you will be as sexy as you are, as attention-driven as your logo is. Because that's what people still are driven by, that logo, the U, and all that stuff. The football team, not so much on a national level. The program itself still makes headlines in other news circles. You know what I'm saying? So now this investment, if it gets them back to being relevant on the football field, that's it, man. This is what's going to put them over the top.
Yeah, and a lot has changed, and I told people, you know, this last year, you and I talked about this. It was about the school waking up more than anything else. Forget who the head coach is. Forget, the athletic director. If the school is behind supporting this football program and investing in it, that was the key to all of it. And thankfully, there's a guy like Mario Cristobal, who's really, really good and loves the University of Miami because he won two national championships there, who wanted this job and was willing to take on the challenges that it presented, right? And having an athletic director like Dan Radakovich that you could pick off from Clemson. Thankfully, those options were available. But the biggest thing more than anything else is that the school woke up and said, hey, we got to do something. And now, hopefully, they view this as the next challenge, which is how do we get into a super conference so that, 10 years from now, we can remain with the big boys, because seismic change is coming to college sports, whether people like it or not.
I'm with you there, bro. There's no doubt in my mind. By the way, remember, go to caneswear.com. Check it out anywhere in the country. They deliver right away when you order. You'll get it pretty soon, man. They are very quick on their service. And when you order over anything over $99, you will get free shipping. They got anything and everything with a Canes logo. And then, of course, they've got Marlins, Panthers, Dolphins, Heat, Inner Miami gear, all kinds of stuff. Go to caneswear.com. Follow my man on Twitter at Manny_Navarro and catch his work there at The Athletic. Manny, as always, thank you, my man. Have a great weekend, my friend.
You too, my brother. Take care.
You got it. There you go. That is Manny Navarro in our Caneswear Miami Hurricanes report.